Centuries ago, the Ismaili sect, who followed Hassan Sabah, used suicide attacks to fight the central government. Ideologically, they had differences with the Bani Abbas rulers. Therefore, they built and holed up in fortresses throughout the Iranian plateau. The Ismailis attacked government forces and later the army of the Mongol conqueror Hulagu Khan, who had invaded Iran. They carried flammable material among enemy soldiers, burning them to death and immolating themselves in the process. Hassan Sabah used hashish to persuade his followers to carry out such acts and accept a painful death. The hashish clouded their minds to such an extent that they did not consider the consequences of their actions. Therefore, they easily burned themselves along with their enemy targets. That is why history called these people hashashin, or assassins. Centuries later, during World War II, Japan used the same method to fight American forces. U.S. warships had laid siege to Japan's coastline and the country was in dire straits. The Japanese Air Force formed a battalion called Kamikaze, which in Japanese means divine wind, to destroy the American warships. This battalion comprised volunteer pilots who flew their planes into the ships, destroying them. Unverified stories indicate that these pilots used some sort of chemical narcotic before carrying out their mission so that they would not hesitate during its execution. The method enabled Japan to inflict heavy damage on the U.S. military. This incident pushed the U.S. to the brink of defeat. Therefore, the U.S. resorted to two nuclear bombs to stop the kamikaze pilots. The people of Japan still honor and respect these pilots as heroes. Kamikaze operations launched against the U.S. involved suicidal methods. However, due to political and economic ties between the U.S. and Japan, the perpetrators are not referred to as terrorists. The U.S. knows that to call them such would strain relations between the two countries and would be ill-received by the Japanese public. The Lebanese Hezbollah, which is considered an active political party in that country today, used this method against Israeli forces in the early 80s. Although others, such as Palestinian nationalist and communist groups, had attempted such operations against the Israeli troops, Hezbollah was the first to effectively use the method.
الذي دفعنا اللجوء إلى العمل الاستشهادي هو تفاوت الإمكانات يعني العدة العديد الإمكانات الكبيرة الموجودة لدى العدو والإمكانات المتواضعة الموجودة لدينا لذلك لجأنا إلى هذا الأسلوب الذي يمكن أن يعطينا نتيجة أفضل بكثير بإمكانات قليلة ومتواضعة.
On June 6, 1982, the Israeli army under the leadership of Ariel Sharon attacked Lebanon. The purpose was to drive Palestinian partisans positioned there out of the country. Israeli ground troops, numbering more than 50,000 soldiers along with 600 tanks and air support, rolled over the border into Lebanon. Due to lack of serious Palestinian partisan resistance, the Israeli military quickly occupied a large part of that country. Within a week, it had reached Beirut. The Israeli army surrounded the city and pressured the people to force a partisan evacuation. The siege of Beirut lasted several months, and around 20,000 people were killed. As the war dragged on, U.S. President Ronald Reagan sent U.S.-Lebanese diplomat Philip Habib to the region to end the war. Habib opened talks with both the Israelis and Lebanese. It was agreed that the Palestinian partisans would be evacuated from Lebanon in exchange for a halt to Israeli military operations. This agreement was accepted by the Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat, who agreed to remove his forces from Lebanon. In the aftermath of the conflict, multinational forces comprising American, French, British, and Italian troops were deployed in Lebanon as peacekeepers. Their objective was to separate the warring sides and supervise the evacuation of Palestinian partisans. After the evacuation of Palestinian forces, Bashir Jumayel was chosen as president of Lebanon, and Habib attempted to make peace between that country and Israel. The presidency of Bashir Jumayel was short-lived. He was killed in an explosion at his party headquarters. His brother Amin was chosen to replace him, and the new president continued down the same path. The Jumayel government, supported by the foreign forces deployed in Beirut, initiated peace talks with Israel. However, the residents of South Lebanon believed that such talks would mean the continued presence of Israeli forces in the region. They feared that they would meet a fate similar to that of the Palestinians and be ultimately forced to leave their homes. Therefore, despite their limited military equipment, they began to fight Israel. Little by little, the first Hezbollah cells were formed with the support of the victorious revolution in Iran. The Israeli army, which was facing resistance in South Lebanon, increased the pressure on the population in order to obtain greater security for their troops. However, the move backfired. All it served to do was further aggravate the local population, and the clashes increased in number. Today, many political experts believe that Ariel Sharon's biggest strategic mistake was ignoring the needs of the people in South Lebanon and provoking their anger. Sharon had been the architect of the Israeli incursion into Lebanon. His mistake caused the Israelis heavy casualties and material damage for years. The majority of southern residents who form the core of Hezbollah are Shia Muslims. Because of their special beliefs, Shias used unique tactics to fight Israel, methods which the Israelis had not experienced in their fight with Palestinian partisans. The Shias believe the family of the Prophet to be the main successors of the Prophet of Islam. And it is in this area where the two main branches of Islam diverge. The Sunnis maintain that the succession was through certain of the Prophet's companions. The Shias believe, therefore, that the Prophet's grandson, Hussein, was the third Imam. The death of Hussein is considered a tragic event in Shia history. Hussein decided to rise against the political ruler, Yazid, because he opposed the way in which he was ruling. Therefore, Hussein and his band of 72 followers stood up against Yazid's army of 20,000.
عندما قرر الحسين عليه السلام أن يدخل في المعركة هو على يقين بأنه سوف يقتل هو وأصحابه وهي بالتالي عملية استشهادية جماعية.
A decisive battle took place in a region called Karbala, which is located in what is presently known as Iraq. Hussein and his followers were all killed, by the caliph's forces and their families were taken prisoner. More than 1,400 years has passed since the Battle of Karbala. However, Shias mourn for 10 days every year on the anniversary of this event in order to commemorate it and remember their third Imam. They believe the tragic and painful death of the Prophet's grandson changed the course of Muslim history and prevented the distortion of Islam by corrupt rulers. They consider Hussein's decision to fight Yazid's giant army, despite the knowledge that he would be killed, to be the pinnacle of freedom. They believe the essence of Shia revolutionary thought stems from this decision by Hussein and his followers. They believe the annual mourning ceremony of the anniversary of Hussein's death to be a ceremony that keeps their inner spirit of freedom alive.
عندما نجدد البيعة للحسين فإنما نجددها لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم نجددها لكل نبي ورسول وإمام نجددها للإمام صاحب الزمان الذين نرى في وجه كل واحد منهم وجه الحسين ودم الحسين وصورة الحسين وجسد الحسين وروح الحسين ونتوجه إليهم جميعا باسم واحد لبيك يا حسين
لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين.
This ideological background helped the Shias in their struggle against Israel. They quickly understood that in order to fight Israel, they could not use conventional methods. One of these methods was sacrificial suicide, which members of the Hezbollah call istishadi operations. They believe that the person who carries out such an operation is a martyr and has a special place before God.
تأتي العمليات الاستشهادية مستندة تحديدا من ناحية فلسفتها إلى قيمة الشهادة في الفكر الديني. الشهادة كما تعرف الشهداء هم الذين يأتون يعني مباشرة بعد رتبة الرسل والأنبياء في رتبة الصديقين.
But under what circumstances is the person who carries out such an operation considered a martyr? This is a question which was discussed among the Shia experts at the time. This method dictates that the person carrying out the operation dies by his own hand. That is different from being killed by enemy soldiers. In fact, the person who carries out such an act commits something like suicide, which is haram or forbidden in Islam.
حفظ الدم من مقاصد الشريعة الإسلامية. فضلا عن أن العديد من الآيات والروايات تمنع المسلم من قتل نفسه.
But despite these considerations, some Shia ulama or clerics announced that if Islamic land is occupied by a foreign government, a Muslim can, under special circumstances, resort to this method. And in such a case, it would not be considered suicide.
الحلية فيها محصورة بأن تكون سلاحا لمن لا يملك السلاح في مواجهة العدوان الخارجي.
The founders of Hezbollah mainly adhere to the Islamic teachings of the leader of Iran's revolution, Ayatollah Khomeini. Therefore, they sought the Ayatollah's advice in regard to the various aspects of such acts. He issued permission for these kinds of operations to be carried out in Lebanon.
عندما أجيز من قبل سماحة الإمام الراحل الإمام الخميني بالنسبة للبنان وأكد الإجازة سماحة السيد القائد بالنسبة للبنان كان استخدام بصور يعني محددة وقليلة.
As the religious obstacles of such operations were solved, Hezbollah began to plan and execute them. However, Hezbollah lacked experience in the field. They did not know the way in which they should be carried out, nor could they weigh their results. Eventually, an 18-year-old named Ahmad Qasir from occupied South Lebanon volunteered to carry out the first such operation. The target was an 8-story building in the suburbs of Tyre, which was used by the Israeli army as headquarters. Hundreds of kilos of explosive material were placed in Qasir's personal car. They were packed in a way so that the explosion would be concentrated and directed upwards in order to completely destroy the concrete 8-story building. On the morning of November 11, 1982, Ahmad Qasir drove the bomb-laden car into the Israeli military headquarters and detonated the explosives. The explosion completely destroyed the building. Ariel Sharon, the architect of the military assault on Lebanon, was among the first to arrive at the scene. The results were greater than Hezbollah officials had anticipated. 141 Israeli soldiers and officers died in the explosion, which was a greater number than the entire casualties sustained during the Six-Day War.
استطاع حزب الله من خلال شخص واحد شهيد واحد وليس عدد كبير من الشهداء وسيارة عادية وكمية من المتفجرات أن يؤدي إلى هذه النتيجة العظيمة جدا من الناحية العسكرية والمعنوية والنفسية والسياسية.
The operation's success encouraged Hezbollah to form istishhadi battalions. Hezbollah officials claimed that the success of Ahmad Qasir's operation was a huge inspiration for the Lebanese people. After that, hundreds of young Lebanese volunteered to carry out such operations.
أنا أعرف أنه في الغرب يقولون بأننا نقوم بعمليات غسل دماغ لهؤلاء الأشخاص. هذا غير صحيح. نحن لا نقنع أحدا. وإنما قرار المشاركة، قرار أي شاب بالمشاركة في عملية استشهادية هو قرار ذاتي ينبع من تأثره بالأجواء العامة. نحن لا نمارس بالنسبة لهم عملية إقناع، بل هم مقتنعون ويأتون إلينا ويتوسلون إلينا. يتوسلون أن نسمح لهم أن يقوموا بعمل استشهادي معين.
But Hezbollah had made hard rules and conditions by which those who would carry out the operations were chosen.
لابد أن يصلوا للنتيجة بأن هؤلاء أو هذا الاستشهادي هو شخصية سوية تماما لا يعاني من أي تعقيدات نفسية ولا يعاني من أي انحرافات عقلية أو ما شابه وليس هناك أي دوافع شخصية كالمشاكل العائلية والمالية وما إلى هنالك والعاطفية وما إلى هنالك كانت تركيبة الاستشهاد هي تركيبة يعني مستقيمة تماما سوية تماما تتمتع بتماسك نفسي وفكري عالي جدا وإذا لم يكن المهيئ الاستشهاد على هذا النحو كانت المقاومة ترفض وقد رفضت الكثير من الحالات لأنها لم تجد فيها المعايير المطلوبة
Despite the numbers of volunteers, for 2 years, Hezbollah refrained from similar operation. During this period, other groups used the method in Lebanon, with widespread political results. One group was an unknown organization called Islamic Jihad. During 1982 and 1983, Lebanon's political scene was in a crisis. With the rise of Amin Jomayel to power, conditions became favorable for Israel. Amin Jomayel was supported by the American embassy and Reagan's special envoy in Lebanon, Philip Habib. That is why Islamic and leftist groups who formed Jomayel's opposition considered the U.S. embassy in Beirut to be the center of conspiracy. At noon on Monday, April 18, 1983, a black Chevrolet with diplomatic license plates passed security checks and exploded in the lobby of the American Embassy in West Beirut. The magnitude of the explosion was such, the entire building was almost completely destroyed. 46 people died. Among those killed was high-ranking CIA agent Robert Clayton Ames. 10 minutes later, an anonymous caller contacted the office of Agence France-Presse and announced that Islamic Jihad was responsible for the operation, which was called Valfajr. Although the group was not known, Western journalists in Beirut described the operation as America's first confrontation with Shia anger. U.S. Secretary of State George Shultz flew to Beirut immediately following the explosion. After visiting the site and meeting Amin Jomayel, he announced the incident would not affect U.S. policies in Lebanon and that the U.S. would continue supporting Jomayel. The U.S. moved its embassy from West Beirut to East Beirut. The latter sector was completely under the control of the Christian paramilitary, which had ties with Israel. However, 2 years later, the U.S. embassy in East Beirut was also targeted. Islamic Jihad took the responsibility for that operation as well. Despite this incident, the U.S. government, as George Shultz announced, did not change its policies in Lebanon. Little by little, even the international forces which came to Beirut to keep the country's warring parties apart and supervise implementation of UN resolutions became involved in the clashes. From the four countries with forces in Lebanon, US and French troops were the most highly involved in clashes with the residents of West Beirut. Moreover, U.S. and French forces bombed the positions of Islamic groups fighting Israel. The American warship, the New Jersey, which lay off the shores of Beirut, targeted the city in support of the Christian paramilitary. The main headquarters of U.S. forces in Beirut was near the airport. This four-story concrete building was 75 meters long and 50 meters wide. In addition to barracks, it had an ammunition depot and U.S. telecommunications units. On Sunday, October 23, 1983, a bomb-laden Mercedes truck entered the Marine headquarters near Beirut Airport, passed several checkpoints, and exploded inside. The explosion totally destroyed the building. U.S. military experts estimated that 12 tons of TNT were used. In fact, this was considered the largest non-nuclear explosion since the Vietnam War. 3 minutes later, another truck entered the headquarters of the French paratroopers, which lay in close proximity to the U.S. base and exploded. The two-pronged operation resulted in the deaths of 241 U.S. military personnel and 58 French paratroopers. A few hours later, Lebanon's Islamic Jihad claimed responsibility for this double operation. But the U.S. government pointed the finger of blame at Shia partisans affiliated with Hezbollah, a claim which Hezbollah has repeatedly rejected.
الأمريكيون يحاولون أن يقولوا لا هذه المنظمة هي اسم وهمي أو غطاء يختبئ وراءه حزب الله هذا غير صحيح كان هناك ثلاثة أو أربعة منظمات صغيرة وحقيقية منظمة الجهاد الإسلامي منظمة العدالة الثورية وآخر منظمة المستضعفين في الأرض في هذا الوقت بدأ حزب الله بالتشكل كتنظيم كبير وتيار جهادي وسياسي كبير ولكن عندما حصلت تلك العمليات حزب الله كان في بدايات التشكل ليس حزب الله هو من قام بتلك العمليات بمعزل عن الموقف منها ولكن تلك المجموعات الجهادية الصغيرة التي نشأت مباشرة بعد الاحتلال الإسرائيلي للبنان هي التي قامت بذلك وهي التي أعلنت مسؤوليتها عن تلك العمليات.
The U.S. death toll was so high in this explosion that it forced the U.S. government to change its policy in Lebanon.
هذه العمليات كانت يعني أدت إلى خروج القوات المتعبة الجنسيات في وقت كان الأمريكيون يتعاطون في تلك الفترة على أساس أنهم يريدون تحويل لبنان لقاعدة عسكرية. فجأة يعني قرروا أن ينسحبوا بصورة كاملة من بيروت.
With the withdrawal of foreign forces from Beirut, Istishhadi operations in South Lebanon were concentrated against Israeli forces. During the next few years, little by little, the Amal organization, which comprises another part of Lebanon's Shias, also carried out operations using this method. Balal Fass and Hassan Qasir were two members of Amal who blew themselves up among convoys of Israeli soldiers. For the first time, such an act was recorded. One of Hassan Qasir's friends made an amateur tape of the operation, which was sent to TV networks and consequently broadcast. As the 80s drew to a close, Hezbollah changed its military strategy and the number of such operations declined. From 1984 to 1989, Hezbollah only carried out 5 such operations, and in the early 90s, the method was temporarily shelved.
عندما تطورت تجربة المقاومة باتجاه يعني إنتاج مدرستها الخاصة في العمل المقاوم، تلاحظ أن العمليات الاستشهادية بدأت تقل أكثر فأكثر، وبدأت المقاومة تفرض ميزان قوى خاص بالاستناد إلى العمل العسكري المقاوم فقط.
On April 25th, 1995, 6 years after the last act, Hezbollah launched a major operation in the Bent Jobeil region of South Lebanon. Its psychological aspect appears to have been of the greatest importance to Hezbollah, because it was carried out after the Israeli army thought such operations had ceased due to stepped-up security. This operation was executed by an engineer named Salah Qandour, living in South Lebanon. Since he had a wife and 3 children, Hezbollah leadership did not want him to carry out the operation. However, he managed to convince them otherwise. Because of its importance, Hezbollah taped all the stages of the operation, from preparation to execution. One of these tapes is a meeting between the operator and the Secretary General of Hezbollah.
توفيق صنع العز، توفيق الشهادة، توفيق الحصول على غاية الأمل ونهاية المقصود، وما تنسانا من الشفاعة لأن الشهداء مشفعون يوم القيامة، السلام لكل أحبة اللي أكيد حيستقبلوك ويكونوا مشتاقين لك، وبتنقل تشكيلهم عن كل هذا الوضع. تشكاش علينا طبعا
As Salah Qandour conducted the operation, his friends watched from a distance until the last moments when contact was lost. For security reasons, Salah's mother did not know for hours that her son had carried out the operation. A few days earlier, Salah had informed her that he was going to Mecca for Hajj.
Sheikh Khadr Nuruddin معهم. إجا بس فتح الباب أنا اطلعت هيك لقيت شيخ. قال لي فوت الحاج لجوا، فت لجوا. مرته واقفة بالكيرادور. قالت استشهد صلاح بس شفته. قالت استشهد صلاح. قلت له أنا رحت ورجعت. قلت له أنا لا بالصراحة هيدا، لأنه راعى الحاج. سكتت، رحت ورجعت لأنت باقي نجيبون. قالوا لي انت قريت الخلاء، انه ما في منه شيء.
From 1995 to 2000, when the Israeli army left Lebanon, Hezbollah launched two more operations. The last was conducted by Ammar Hamoud, 4 months before the Israeli withdrawal from South Lebanon. The success Lebanese Shias experienced using this method motivated two Sunni groups to resort to it as well. The first were Islamic Palestinian movements, such as Hamas and Islamic Jihad, which used the method inside the occupied territories. But contrary to Hezbollah, which only targeted the Israeli military, the Palestinian partisans blew themselves up in Israeli buses and public centers, so most of their casualties were Israeli citizens.
لا نصنفهم كمدنيين. كل من يأتي إلى فلسطين هذا معتدي ومحتل، ومعظم الشعب الإسرائيلي مسلح، ومعظمهم تحت التجنيد الإجباري، وهم جنود احتياط، لهم رتبهم ولهم أرقامهم وملفاتهم في جيش الاحتياط الصهيوني.
The security crisis created inside Israel because of these operations was so that it forced the Israeli government to build a wall around the West Bank. Although Palestinian groups are all Sunnis and they disagree with Shias over some issues, their actions are supported by Shia clerics as well.
الذين أجازوا العمل الاستشهادي في فلسطين لاحظوا أن كل الموجود في إسرائيل ليس مدنيا، وهذه مسألة يعرفها القاسي والداني، أن التسليح في إسرائيل يشمل يعني الفتيان، من الفتيان إلى الكبار، كل إسرائيلي هو مجند إما فعلي وإما احتياطي.
However, the other group that started using this method were Wahhabi and military movements such as Al-Qaeda. The ideology of these groups is based on a special interpretation of Islamic foundations, which allows them to use suicide operations on a wider scale. Because of the differences these groups have with some Arabic governments, such as Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Egypt, which maintain close relations with the US, they carry out suicide operations in these countries. The casualties have mainly been ordinary civilians, the citizens of those countries. After these operations, disagreements between such groups and the Shias became evident. The Shias, who had also used such operations, opposed the actions, saying that they were not allowed according to Islamic rules.
أن حزب الله كان ينفذ عملياته الاستشهادية على أهداف مشروعة، وهي مشروعة بكل المقاييس، يعني مثلا قتال أو قتل الجنود الإسرائيليين الذين يحتلون الأرض اللبنانية بكل المقاييس الشرعية والقانونية والأخلاقية والإنسانية هو جائز، لأن هؤلاء متجاوزين ومحتلين، متجاوزون ومحتلون لأرضنا. إذن حزب الله يضع هدف للعملية الاستشهادية أولا، هذا الهدف يجب أن يكون مشروعا، فلا يجوز أن أذهب أنا وأقتل مدنيين أو أبرياء أو نساء أو أطفال مثلا أو أشخاص لا ذنب لهم ولا علاقة لهم وأدخل وأفجر نفسي في هؤلاء.
هذه العناوين واقعا هي بمثابة الاعتداء على حرمة دم المسلم. في الداخل الإسلامي هناك أكثر من صورة تتصور لمعالجة القضايا الخلافية، يعني في مواجهة الأنظمة أو في مواجهة المخالفين بالرأي، ليس أسلوب قتل النفس وقتل الآخرين هو الأسلوب الذي ينفع في عملية التغيير.
But despite opposition by some sects of the Islamic faith to suicide bombings, this group expanded the scale of its activities. On September 11th, 2001, a hijacked airliner hit one building of the World Trade Center in Manhattan. The incident was so surprising, it was broadcast throughout the world.
Sean, what kind of plane? Was it a small plane, a jet?
It was a jet.
You're talking about a large passenger commercial jet.
A few minutes later, another plane hit the second tower and exploded. At the same time, the media was reported that another plane had hit the Pentagon. A few moments later, because of the magnitude of the explosion, the two towers of the World Trade Center collapsed. Many people who had not been able to exit were buried under the rubble. According to the US government, these were suicidal operations which had been conducted by 19 young Muslims who had hijacked the planes, flying them into the targets. Because of the scale of the attacks and its connection to Muslims, many Muslim countries and prominent Muslim figures took a stance against it. Contrary to expectations, even Lebanon's Hezbollah issued a statement condemning these operations.
في الحد الأدنى هناك عدد كبير من الذين قتلوا. الأبرياء لا ذنب لهم. من يقتل الأبرياء هو يرتكب جريمة وليست عمليات جهادية. حتى نقول عنها استشهادية.
After 9/11, the US attacked Afghanistan and Iraq using the excuse of fighting terrorism. Simultaneous with the fall of the governments in these two countries, Al-Qaeda expanded its operations, targeting countries which had helped the US. Al-Qaeda suicide bombers attacked foreign companies and interests in Islamic countries. An explosion took place in front of a British bank in Istanbul, leaving 64 dead. The next targets were various European railway systems. These operations not only did not alter political equations, they also brought about stricter rules for Muslims living in Europe, limiting them more than before. On the other hand, security problems deriving from the fall of the government in Iraq transformed the country into a place in which such groups could maintain a strong presence. Mistreatment of Iraqis by US forces and pictures broadcast from various networks motivated volunteers from across the Arab world to join Salafi groups. The security vacuum in Iraq had created an atmosphere in which disagreement between Shias and Salafi armed groups became even more evident. After Iraq was occupied by US forces, Shia leaders forbade such operations against Americans, despite the fact that they considered them occupiers.
ما نسمعه من العلماء والحركات الإسلامية أن هذا الاحتلال ينبغي أن يخرج ونملك القدرة على إخراجه بالطريقة المدنية والسياسية، ولذلك الضغط المدني لم يتوقف.
Salafi armed groups reacted strongly to the Shia decision. Iraq's Al-Qaeda commander Abu Musab al-Zarqawi in several messages officially called them enemies.
ينبغي أن تعلم أمة الإسلام أن التشيع دين لا يلتقي مع الإسلام. لقد كانوا عبر التاريخ شجا في حلوق أهل الإسلام وخنجرا يطعنهم في الظهر والجسر الذي يعبر عليه أعداء الأمة.
كل من يختلف معهم هو عدو. الاحتلال عدو والمذاهب الأخرى عدوة، وداخل المذهب يعني السني نفسه من يختلف معهم فقهيا فكريا هو عدو. من لا يدخل بالمعركة ويقف على جنب هو عدو. منطق التكفير هو منطق شامل يطال كل الآخرين، أكانوا من مذاهب أخرى أم من نفس المذهب أم من الذين يقفون على الحياد أم من الذين يتعاطون مع الاحتلال أمام. هذا غير ممكن. هذه المنطق التكفيري مشكلة كبيرة.
From that time on, attacking Shias became a Salafi priority. Every day, several suicide bombers blow themselves up in crowded public places in Iraq. The main casualties of these operations are ordinary civilians. The numbers are so high that fighting the U.S. Army has become a secondary issue. The Shias claim they have evidence that shows some of these operations were carried out with U.S. military provocation aimed at creating a gap between Shias and Sunnis.
وهؤلاء هم في خدمة الاحتلال قطعا، هم في خدمة الأمريكي، سواء كانوا متصلين به عضويا وعمليا أو كانوا غير متصلين، ولكنهم بأعمالهم وحماقتهم وإجرامهم وحقدهم يخدمون عدو هذه الأمة ويلحقون بدينهم وبأمتهم أفضح الأضرار.
Today, while Shia leaders and prominent figures are doing their best to stop emotional response to these attacks, there are rumors about forming Shia resistance groups targeting the U.S. Army.
العمليات تجري في العراق. إذا كانت تستهدف جنود الاحتلال الأمريكي فهي عمليات مشروعة بلا شك، سواء كانت أخذت طابعا استشهاديا أو طابعا ميدانيا آخر. أما العمليات التي تستهدف الأبرياء والمدنيين هي عمليات إجرامية إرهابية، هي جرائم قتل ترتكب بحق الناس، والذين ينفذوها هم مجرمون ليسوا مجاهدين وليسوا شهداء.
Despite the signs indicating Shia resistance groups in Iraq, the country's Shia religious leaders have continued to withhold their permission for suicide operations there. But the question remains, if the Shias fail to politically remove the Americans from Iraq, will they resort to suicide operations against the U.S. Army?
إن لم يجعل سقفا محددا لبقاء وخروج أو خروج هذا الاحتلال، الأمور لن تبقى على ما هي عليه، خاصة وأن هذا الاحتلال يثير، أصبح الآن يثير الريبة، وليس فقط الريبة، يعني يفيد بما يشبه القطع بأنه يعمل على تخريب الوضع الداخلي في العراق.
If in the future Shia religious leaders grant permission, it is possible that the U.S. Army will face difficult circumstances. Those are circumstances which the Israeli Army has already experienced in South Lebanon.